Moncrief on News Talk.
Today, actually, the Bob Dylan's first album, which was just called Bob Dylan, was released today in 1962. Of course, Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley both knew that. They shouted it out immediately as soon as I started to hear that clip.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember that. Although no, I was released in 1962 as well.
And you're still blown.
Yeah. Oh, boom, boom. Yeah.
And you're still blown in the wind.
Yeah, I'm still blown in the wind. Yeah.
Here's your first question. I'm a woman in my early 30s. I would really love to meet someone, settle down and have children. The problem is most men my age don't seem that interested in that. And I often feel like I'm walking a tightrope between being honest about what I want and scaring them off. Recently, a man I knew in my early 20s has come back into my life. We only dated briefly back then, but it ended because he was quite a loose cannon and a heavy drinker. For example, after winning a county final, he stayed in the pub for 2 weeks straight. Gosh. At the time, it wasn't a big deal, but we weren't serious. Now he's in his... Was he on the team, I wonder? Now he's in his mid-30s. I decided to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's been pursuing me, consistently planning dates, staying in touch, and he comes across as emotionally mature, generous, and very attentive. He owns two houses, works hard in the family pub business, and has been very clear that he wants to settle down, get married, and have children, all green flags. The only issue is he still drinks heavily. He would think nothing of having 20 pints a night. Now, it doesn't seem to affect him. He's 6'4" and quite blocky. So I imagine, hence the county final, I suppose, quite blocky. So I imagine he can hold drink better than most. But it still seems insane. The level of drinking also seems very normalised in his family. He does acknowledge that he drinks a lot, but his attitude is very much take me as I am. And I don't get the sense that a conversation about it would lead to any real change. He's always happy when drinking, and it's not causing obvious problems right now, but it does worry me if we did have kids. The drinking is not every day, but when he drinks, he goes on benders. He told me when his uncle died, he drank every day for a few weeks, but then he goes off it again. It seems like a very old school Irish way of drinking. Should I give this lad a chance and see can I curtail his drinking? Or is it just doomed?
I fully approve of this woman's kind of pragmatic approach to commitment in a relationship. Because, you know, love is all very well, but you have to make a smart choice as well. You know, if you're thinking that this might be the person you want to settle down for the long term with. So, well done, this woman, for that. But that said, it's interesting that there's no real mention of love or even affection in this letter.
No, she doesn't mention it. No, he's just like a choice.
Yeah. It's like she's interviewing for a job. So, I mean, if there's no chemistry, well, then I kind of think it might be doomed anyway. But maybe she's assuming that we know there is chemistry because they went out before.
Yeah,
so maybe she's kind of going, that's a given.
She's kind of going, you know, I kind of into him, but he may be, you know, he may be trouble.
Yeah. So say there is chemistry, then on to the drinking issue. And I've only really one thing to say about this, and that is that this guy she's talking about is in his mid-30s, so he's still quite young, do you know?
Yeah. He's been drinking 20 pints a night for the last 10 years, so I'd say, you know, the old...
he can get away with
things might be a bit looser.
Exactly. So that's what I was going to say. Like, he might get away with it. He might even get away with it for another decade because he's young, but it will catch up with them. That kind of lifestyle will definitely catch up with them. So as a long-term bet, he's not great. And then there's the consequences for family life if daddy's going on benders every couple of weeks and disappearing and she's going to be left shouldering the burden of family life and kids and all that on her Sweeney Todd. And also it's not a great example for kids. So putting all that into the mix, I would say move on, because it sounds like he's very happy with his lifestyle the way it is. And he doesn't see a problem and he has no intention of changing. So I would think, don't be wasting your time. Jog on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is that though, isn't it? It's the, I don't know whether it is because he is one player in a small pool of people where, you know, the lack of massive amount of choice means you have to kind of almost choose from many bad choices rather than
to settle.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of saying.
But we all do a bit of that, but you still have to be a bit, you know.
Speak for yourself. I had to say that, I would have been dead. Of course.
That's what you told me, Declan, the other day.
Yeah, sorry. I do think, though, that she's kind of seeing things clearly, you know, she is actually seeing things clearly. It is a little bit dispassionate. It is a little bit kind of, you know, lacking in the kind of the romance
the
and the kind of being swept away with things. But I think when you're thinking about the way you want your life to be in the future, you have to be, you know, box clever a little bit like that. And I think she's noticed a few things. She's noticed that the positives don't necessarily cancel out the negatives. And even though she said this guy is kind of good in some ways, she's not making him sound like amazing.
So
the trade-off of...
Although he's 6'4" and quite blocky, I could see how that would be attractive.
She said that just to get you turned on. The positives don't trade, you know, cancel out those, you know, the potential negatives. Because the negatives... She kind of sees the negatives now as somebody who can disappear for 2 weeks into the, you know, the pub or whatever. That would have an impact on her in their relationship, never mind
if there's kids.
You know, if there's kids or anything a bit more grown up going on there.
But could you imagine going on holidays with them as well? Do you know what I mean? Because his chances are when he's on holidays, he's going to hit the jar like quite heavy. And, you know, that's okay the odd night. But if he's doing that all the time, that'd be just head-wrecked.
Especially if he's also an event drinker.
Yes.
She's had her first baby. She's lying in the hospital having had stitches, exhausted. Yes. And where's he? She doesn't see him for a fortnight.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
and then the answer to that would be, she always knew I was like this. This is who I am, you know?
Yeah.
What do you expect of me? Look, I think it would be delusional for her to think that she's going to curtail his behaviour, that she's going to be able to change him beforehand. You know, he has to want to change. And he's almost signalling in a kind of childish way
that he's not
up for that.
Yeah.
So my short answer would be that, like, you have to take his drinking at face value rather than his potential.
Right.
Into the case.
So are you saying jog on?
I'm saying, jog on.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard. You know, she's in her early 30s and I know she obviously wants to meet somebody who wants to settle down. And it is tempting if he ticks some of the boxes in that he's staying in touch. He's emotionally mature, generous and attentive. But still, I think the drinking is too much to ignore.
The examples she's given are very dramatic. Now, I know there are some people can dramatize people's drinking and partying, you know, because some people do turn over a new leaf and they do change.
The line
you know.
That really gets me is when he drinks, he goes on benders.
Yeah.
That's always bad news. Do you know?
Mm.
That really is bad news. So, jog on is what we say unanimously. Amazing.
Yeah. And pretty much all the listeners agree with you. Lisa says, when people try to show you who they are, pay attention. You can never change someone else. Yeah. Heartache lies in trying.
True.
Someone else says that drinker will eventually have to give up due to fatty liver disease or he'll have to wait for a transplant. That level of drinking is off the scale and unsustainable. Forget that lad. He's already married to the booze.
Yeah, true.
I'm not a prude. Enjoy a pint of the black stuff. Move on, doll, says Yvonne. Somebody else says he can drink 20 pints in a night or he does drink 20 pints in a night. If he does, how regularly? Once a year, once a week? From a practical point of view, that's an absolute minimum of €100 per one of those nights, but more likely €150. If it's once a week, it's nearly €8,000 a year. I drank 21 pints during a day and a night more than 30 years ago. It was an aim, a struggle, and not anything I would ever want to have repeated again for many reasons, one being a relationship with the fairer sex. So the, financial aspect there too.
Who's he, an accountant?
He's good at adding.
He's very good at the maths.
He's good at the maths.
Man, he has all that in the spreadsheet, I bet.
My father, who's in his late 60s, wants to do more activities together now that he's retired. I welcome this and would love the opportunity to spend quality time in each other's company. The problem is this. We actually have very little in common. I work in the arts and live in the city, and he's a Culchie through and through, and he's worked in the agri sector all his life. He really wants us to go fishing on the Shannon, and I honestly can't imagine a worse day out. I suggested a wine tasting evening in town, and he laughed at me. I'm laughing at you too. The whole thing has gotten rather awkward at this stage because we have been going back and forth for several weeks and simply cannot find compromise in a mutually agreeable activity. He's dead set on days out that involve game, and my only interest in animals is when they're wrapped in cellophane or on a plate. He finds my interests trivial. Are we flogging a dead horse here? There's an activity about... I'm beginning to think that the universe is trying to tell us that we will always be father and son, but that we cannot be friends. What should we do?
Like, what should you do? First thing that jumped out at me here was, it's kind of nice that this guy has a dad who's willing to, that is indicating that they want to spend time with him. So take that first and go, look, you're starting off from a good space where you actually have a parent who's interested in wanting to spend time with you socially. Yeah. Even if you can't find out what way that social exercise will manifest itself, that's a good start, because loads of people don't have that. The other that leads me on to the second part, which is, what will we do? I mean, the reality of it is, it seems like there's no compromise going on here between these two people about who they are and what they're willing to do. But I think in from my own experience, I would say spending time with somebody rather than what you're doing is the most important part of that. And being willing to show up, and even if you hate every minute of dragging your ass around the field, whatever you're doing, that's still going to be way more meaningful than kind of sending text messages from your place to his place about what will we do next week. Actually getting out and doing something and actually trying to build a relationship. It's the spending time together rather than the context. Yeah. That's the most important part. I think that if you want it to happen, you kind of do have to make a compromise.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And I was kind of coming to the same conclusion. But I mean, my first reaction when I read this letter, unlike your kinder reaction about how it's nice that they both want to spend time with each other, I was immediately on the back foot, because the dad just wants to shoot things and the writer's only interest in animals is if they're wrapped on cellophane or on his plate. So,
You're suggesting a vegan retreat for both of them.
Yeah, like, both of them, yeah.
We'll both hate this, Dad. Come on.
The two of you can go around to Barbara's house and she can lecture you.
Yes, exactly.
Bring gravy.
I never miss an opportunity. But I'm kind of surprised that the fellow who wrote the letter isn't into going fishing, because I thought that would be up his street. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
That said, reading the letter then the second time, I was just like, lads, would you ever use your imagination? Like, seriously, there are lots of things that you can do that don't involve either animals or fine dining or wine tasting or anything like that. Off-road driving, hiking, walking, having lunch, going to a show or an event or comedy or whatever.
Like a musical.
There's a million things. Yeah, there's a million things that they could do. But I think the problem, and I think this is where you were going, did I miss something?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think the dad's going to want to
go to see. No, I don't think so. I mean, because he said he works in the agri sector.
Yeah.
So
again, it's making
that's
him
out going to the pub and you know.
Yeah, but like, that's making him out. Anyway, making him out to be really shallow. I think the problem here is communication. The problem here is they don't really know each other and they don't really... they haven't established a pathway of communication, which is kind of a little bit what you were saying. So I would advise them, stop thinking about activities to do just yet. Just meet for coffee or meet for lunch or meet for a chat or a pint in the pub
Though, maybe the last one might be something, but all the previous sounds a little bit kind of fancy though for somebody.
And I think your man is assuming things. I bet if he said to his dad, he doesn't have to go for a fancy lunch. It could be a lunch in the pub, but just say, look, I'm around for lunch.
Yeah, will a carvery.
Yeah, have a carvery, a big plate full of meat and do something like that. And then once they've established a kind of a communication, they will discover things that they might want to both do together, whether it is off-road driving or going for a hike or getting a bike and going for a cycle or whatever it is. And if they can't come up with something, having spent some time having the chats together, then ask a woman who knows them both and she'll sort you out in a second. It's no wonder the world has gone to hell.
If two fellas can't come up with some kind
of decent thing that they both might enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Somebody says an obvious compromise is wine tasting while fishing. Fishing isn't about fishing. It's about hanging out and talking, having a beer on a boat. It depends, I suppose, on your...
Unless you're a fish.
Yeah. One could paint while the other fishes. Can they not just take turns on picking things to do? Get to know each other's likes.
I think that's the beginning of it, though. I mean, as a solution, that's a good solution. But I think before that, there's the step that they need to just chill out on putting each other into these boxes.
Just hang out together.
They're putting each other in boxes and going, you're this and I'm that. And we're near the twain shall meet.
And it's very shallow saying, my dad works in agri, so he's not into anything that's not about agriculture. Ditto, which I'm in the city, like, so,
but there can
you know,
be loads
I'm into
of reasons.
And
there can be loads
into.
Of reasons, though, why you are in a scenario where you might feel that the overlap between you and a parent isn't. I know lots of gay friends who have a similar kind of, you know, discomfort around spending time with their dad because of that. You're into this and I'm not into that. And, you know, I can't bring you to the, you know, the, all the easy answers, like, I can't bring you to this or that or whatever, or you don't want to do this. The reality of it is, though, is that once you sweep that stuff aside and just spend time with each other, you'll actually realise exactly. that you don't like each other.
Before they realise that.
Yeah. They were rave and MAGA.
Is there not a bit, because the father is retired.
Yeah.
And you know when you have kids?
Yeah, I do.
And you have to play games with kids and they're four and they're telling you a lot of crap you know already. Yeah. But you have to say, really, that's so interesting. Yeah. And you have to play games that you're not that interested in, but you love them. So you
spend time doing things you don't really want to do.
Exactly. So one assumes the father has already put in his shift doing that for the son. Yes. So maybe it's perhaps an onus on the son to put in a shift, like repaying that to a degree. And they might get to know each other.
What I was thinking, that's kind of where I was coming from. What I was saying is I do believe that the guy who wrote in as the son will regret it more if he doesn't do anything about it. So therefore, taking the hit, just spending time, walking the fields, whatever it is that your dad's going to do. And then maybe after a few times you realise that you do have stuff that you're having fun.
The other thing I would say to anybody who is retired or of that age, I'm assuming he's in his mid to late 60s, is it's very easy to get stuck in a rut, in fairness. I don't like that. This is all I do and I don't want. And, you know, maybe he needs also to push the dad a little bit out of his comfort zone. And the dad might find that he does enjoy it, you know, because he's been working for so long and he hasn't really thought about widening his horizons. And maybe he should go away for a weekend.
Stick him in the back of the car and drive him.
Or steal a car and drive on it. Suck it up and go fishing with your old ass, is one texter. Yeah. My dad has gone for 14 years now. You'll miss him when he's gone. So take every opportunity, and who knows, you might discover a new hobby that you never knew you both enjoy that leads to a new understanding of each other and forms a connection.
And you'll also have memories, which is really important, especially, you know, as your parents get older.
Yeah, I'd give really anything important. To be able to hang out with my dad once again till tell that guy to suck it up and make the most of the time they have.
That's good advice, yes.
I'm a man in my late 20s. I've been with my girlfriend for 7 months. We get on well, have great crack together, and I can see a real long-term potential with her. The issue is our sex life. She's quite passive in bed, happy for things to happen to her, but she doesn't take much initiative or seem interested in trying different positions or mixing things up. I've tried gently suggesting new things, but she tends to stick to what she's comfortable with, which is lying on her back like a plank. It doesn't help that my ex-girlfriend, whom I was with for 5 years, was anything but a pillow princess. We had a really adventurous... Is that what they call them?
I think the word princess. Yeah. That's true.
We had a really adventurous and exciting sex life, and I always felt like we were well matched and able to explore new things. I don't want to pressure my new girlfriend or make her feel judged, but I'm starting to worry about whether we're sexually compatible in the long run. Is this something that can improve? How can I bring it up without hurting her feelings or making unfair comparisons?
When I read this, I was reminded, literally this week, one night, I don't know what night it was, I fell asleep on the sofa watching something on Channel 4, could have been Gogglebox, and I went into a coma. And I was asleep for about an hour, I'd say, like fastos. And when I woke up, there was the most extraordinary programme I've ever seen. It was after midnight on Channel 4. I think it was called The Great Sex Experiment.
Oh.
And it was basically where couples, singles, various people, young people, were all away in what looked like a very nice, swanky country house because they all wanted to inject some excitement into their sex lives. So some of them were interested in having a threesome or a foursome or a gangbang. And it was quite explicit.
Up with all the lingo of all this
I'll
now.
I'll tell you something. I was. But what it made me think of was like, you know, because they interviewed couples then afterwards, and very often it didn't go. Like, they both wanted to inject some excitement, and then after they tried to inject some excitement by bringing maybe somebody else into the thing, one of them kind of realised, no, it just made me feel really weird and I didn't really like it. So the point is that, you know, this fella's idea of exciting, adventurous sex, like, that's quite a big what you call it, like
panorama.
As I say, the pillow princess is one for me. But the other thing is that I would say that if you're in a relationship with somebody, I would imagine most couples, you know, when you've been together for, you know, any length of time, a decent length of time, you sometimes have sex that is very planky and very just like, you know, scratching an itch. And then you'll have other times when it is very exciting and, you know, adventurous and a bit wilder. But in order to do that, I think particularly from a woman's point of view, trust becomes a huge big thing.
Yeah.
You really need to have trust in the person you're with. And I think maybe that's what's going on here, that she's still kind of not there yet. So my advice would be to go slow, would be to try and gain her confidence, not be kind of, you know, whizzing off at 900 miles an hour into looking to do kind of things that she might find uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I think a lot of that is because of the trust element. And I think that he needs to build up her trust and her confidence. And then see, so I wouldn't, you know, throw the whole relationship down the pan just yet. If you like her, I would say stick with it for another good bit of time before you decide.
I think that's good advice. I do think things can change. I think that sometimes they don't change.
Yeah.
And if they don't change, I think it's fair enough to kind of question your compatibility in that respect, because there are some people who have, you know, it's not just about confidence. They just have kind of, you know, they're just, that's who they are, or they've got issues, or that's just what they like. And that's fine too. And there are often people who are perfectly compatible with that as well. So, you know, I think from that point of view, I think he has to also avoid the direct comparison with an ex.
Oh, that's God,
really,
that's
just dangerous. Because that's just gives you unrealistic kind of, because for the exact thing I just mentioned, everybody's different, everybody likes different things, everybody does different things. And if you're kind of trying to expect that the next person you're with is going to be the kind of accumulation of all of your past, that's not going to happen.
That's an
expectation that's just not going to be met. I think that speaking to her about, you know, what's going on gently, I think,
but
just
taking it slow,
trying to have a big kind of sex talk.
He says like he's going
after
like a bullet a gate. Yeah,
that's not.
No,
hot.
It's not. No, it's not. No. He needs to slow it all down.
But even at, like, we get on well, have great crack together, and I can see long term potential. It's all bangs of Yelp review here, you know. Which is now like ticking all the boxes, and you know, my ex, you know, I want.
But that's like the other one as well.
Yeah, it's like a car.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also very self centered. It's very kind of, you know, it's everything is coming from, I'm the person who needs to have these needs met. I'm the person who's using the service,
but it's
and I'm not
very
getting what
regulated,
I want.
Regulated, isn't it? Like, as you say, tick this box, tick that, rather than going with a kind of gut instinct. Like, this person, I feel really comfortable with this person.
And the reality is that, you know, with my thousands of years experience, you know, I'm going to say that the best sex happens when you're kind of into it for the other person as well, and not just for yourself. Yeah. So you're sitting there kind of going, I want it to be this kind of way, without thinking about what the other person wants. Then all you're doing is you're just basically waiting for them to come and, you know, serve the table. And it's very kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very kind of
mechanical.
It's very
kind
mechanical.
Of,
yeah,
kind
well, maybe if she's lying on her
provider.
bed, lying on her back, maybe she's not getting as much out of it. Maybe, and there's not a hint of,
asking her,
is there something else I could do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, communication is really important, and he needs to.
Yeah, but
to,
it can't, it's not, it, it shouldn't be in the car. Would you ever get off your back?
Yeah, no,
but
no,
it has
but
to
gently,
be like, you know,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, it has to be in a kind of a, are you enjoying this kind of thing? Because I'm not.
I'm a 39-year-old woman who's never been married. While I'm happy with my life in many ways, I've always felt a sense of missing out when it comes to having a wedding. I'm not currently in a relationship, but I've been to countless weddings over the years, celebrating friends, buying gifts and showing up for all the big moments. I've started to wonder why I shouldn't get to experience something similar myself, just because I don't have a man. Recently, I floated the idea of having a kind of solo wedding or celebration for myself, a chance to mark this stage of life, dress up, gather my loved ones and celebrate in a meaningful way. I wasn't necessarily framing it as marrying myself, more just creating a joyful event that feels special and intentional. However, some of my friends have reacted quite negatively, calling it sad or outrageous and suggesting it would make people uncomfortable. Their reaction has really knocked my confidence and made me question whether I'm being unreasonable. Is it wrong to celebrate myself in this way, or are my friends being unfairly judgmental?
I can't wait to hear what
Mr.
Bridezilla over there has to say about this.
I'm at a crossroads, a fork in the road. One road is down to Gentle Valley, and the other one is just kind of
sharp,
you know,
as hell.
Yeah, sharp mountain. Look, I suppose the way I'd phrase it is that I think your idea needs some reality checking here, because I think that there's some of the references that you're using to create something for yourself don't really belong to you in that way. And I think that's the reason why your friends are reacting the way that they are. In other words, I think that it's completely valid to want to celebrate your life. I mean, you know, just open up an Instagram account if you want to do that. But calling it a wedding when there's no other person is, at the very least, confusing for other people.
Yeah.
I think that one of the reasons why weddings are joyful celebration events is because there are two people who are coming together celebrating
pledging
a lifelong of compromise and, you know, being let down and all that kind of stuff. And just standing there on
decades
your own.
Decades of boring sex.
Yeah. And then standing there on your own kind of going, this is all about a big pat on the back for me. It doesn't feel like a comparison. It doesn't feel like a fair comparison. And I don't know, like, I think I'd be very uncomfortable at something like that, because I feel like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't celebrate yourself, and you know, it feels to me like this person has been watching other people doing things, having things, getting things, and the response isn't, I'm happy for them. It is,
I want that
for me. I deserve that for me. I'm going to create a scenario where I get that for me, even though it's not me getting that at all. And there's a chance that then it can come across as a bit kind of pantomime or performative. And I think that would also lead to the wrong result for her, because I think in this situation, their result will be, instead of actually being celebrated, it will be a lot of people kind of giving you the side eye.
Yeah.
You won't know whether they're actually celebrating you or they're plumassing you or just kind of putting up with you and then talking about you behind your back. And it's always kind of, so I think a big birthday party or a big event where you actually have a genuine kind of socially understood celebration, by all means, go all hell for leather on that and celebrate yourself that way. But this avenue just seems a little bit kind of off for me. And I think it's not
very restrained there. Very restrained. Yeah. I'm impressed with that. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I totally agree with you. And I think that what she is describing here when she says, you know, she wants to mark this stage in her life, dress up, gather loved ones and celebrate in a meaningful way. That's a birthday party if you're single.
That's what everyone's pointing out. She's 39.
Yeah.
She's
going to
be 40. Yeah.
Have a big 40th birthday party and do exactly that. You know, hire a venue. Hire a venue, buy yourself a nice outfit, unlike a wedding dress that you might wear again. You know, organise food, organise entertainment. It's going to cost you a small fortune, but if that's what you want to do, well then, you know, knock yourself out and do it. Just because you're not married or not getting married doesn't mean that people don't want to celebrate you or that you don't deserve a celebration, but don't call it a wedding. Call it a big birthday party.
Yeah, that's the reason why I land on that one, though, is I kind of feel like that bit is the bit that's going to flip the whole thing and it will cause people to either eye roll, get irritated or judge you in a way that you don't want.
And they won't know how to respond to it. You know, how do you respond to, I'm having a solo wedding? What are we meant to do with that?
Yeah.
Have a birthday party, everybody knows.
I do,
I'm like, do our parents turn up and give her away? And who do they give her away to? How does that work?
A lot of people are saying exactly that. 40th birthday party, she can do all the things, most of the bits you have from a wedding. There's a band, a photographer, she can have a list of gifts she wants to receive.
Spend loads
of money.
Not
everyone
spend
giving her a vibrator. Yeah. One person texted in to say, sweet divine Jesus, no wonder she's single. Thank you very, very much.
Dear.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on Newstalk.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.